We've been teaching for many, many weeks on the subject, the science of the Christian life. I'm trying to break the Christian life down into a simple formula that you can live by. And we've been teaching on different subjects, the science of prayer, the science of Bible study, the science of controlling your emotions, the science of anger, and so forth. Tonight, the science of preferring one another. The science of preferring one another. There's only so much hot water, and you and your brother both have to take a bath. And there's enough hot water for one bath. And you're a teenage girl, and you say to your brother, "Dearly beloved brother, God has led me to let you have the bath water right in your face." You're driving down the street. There's somebody sitting, there's another car beside you over here. You're over here in the inside lane, and this car's over here. Stop light. About 50 feet down here, there's a car parked over here next to the curb. Now, this guy has straight go. If you don't beat him, then you have to stop when you get down to the car. He does. You're over here. And so he decides he's going to look at the light like that to see when the caution light comes on. So when the caution light comes on over here, he's going to take off. And you know what he's going to do, because you see him ooching up just a little bit. And he sees you ooching up just a little bit. And you look at him and say, "Beloved of the Lord, goest thou on us. I want you to go first." That's all I'm teaching about tonight. I'm going to teach you how to do it. It's impossible. Ain't no way you can do it. Your sister uses your curlers. Or your daughter is your size and she puts on the dress you plan to wear to church. You have these problems, I see. Or your best friend is after your boyfriend. And you say to her, "Beloved of the Lord, you may have him." Then you can live happily ever afterwards if you do that. Let me change the subject. This ain't going to work at all. I want to talk tonight on the subject, the science of preferring one another. Romans 12 and let's make it verse number 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." And here it is. "In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, and given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend." Here it is. "Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil." All throughout this chapter, we're talking about how to behave toward others and even those that don't care much for you. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." That doesn't say a thing about women. It's impossible to live peaceably with a woman. You know that. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." Ladies, did you hear that? "But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head." I'll never forget the guy said this woman, the preacher's counseled this woman and said, "Have you tried heaping coals of fire upon your husband's head?" She said, "No, I poured scalding water down his shirt, but I haven't tried coals of fire upon his head yet." "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I called your attention to that little line in verse number 10. In honor, preferring one another. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the book. Thank you for everything that's taught in it. And now you've told us, in honor, preferring each other. That means deferring to each other. That means giving in to each other. Help us to learn tonight the joy of that very thing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, put your pencils and pens up. Set up straight. Slap yourself on the cheek. Wake yourself up. Slap the person beside you on the cheek and wake him up. That's 50 demerits for touching somebody of the opposite sex. And you're going to have to listen real, real carefully tonight. So sit up straight, look right this way, and I'm going to teach you something you're not going to ever do, but I want you to feel bad when you don't do it. And so I have no hope that this is going to do any good tonight, but we had to have the service. We needed the offering, and so... But I want to talk to you. So listen carefully to me. I'd like to tell you tonight that there's a formula whereby you can become a wonderful, wonderful Christian. I'd like to tell you that you can become such a good Christian before we get through with this study tonight. Well, you go out of here and you will want to just give up your life totally and not enjoy anything and totally sacrifice and suffer all the pain that accompanies it, just so others can have their way. Now, the truth is, most of us, if we ever get there, listen to me now, if we ever get there, we're not going to get there tonight. And yet the Bible does say, in honor, preferring one another. You listen to me now? The Bible does say, in honor, preferring one another. And it doesn't say, in honor, preferring one another when you get grown completely in grace. It doesn't say, in honor, preferring one another when you become a totally, if you could, a totally mature Christian. No, this command is given to us now. For example, Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Now, it may be that you, listen to me now, it may be that you want to steal, but you're not supposed to steal, even though you want to steal. Every once in a while, I'll hear some preacher's got a hole in his head, and sort of an idiot who'll say, it's just as bad to want to do it as it is to do it. Now, I hope you don't feel that way about shooting me in the head. I mean, don't tell me it's as bad to want to kill as it is to kill. Don't tell me that at all. Don't tell me it's as bad to want to steal as it is to steal. Don't tell me that at all. That's garbage. Now, it is sin to want to do wrong, but it's not as great a sin to want to do wrong as it is to do wrong. Now, if the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. All right? Now, until you can get the place where you don't want to steal, then it'd be a good idea to learn some other way not to steal. Is that right? It may be you quit stealing because God's going to beat the tar out of you if you steal. It may be that you don't want to steal because if you do, you got to go to jail. I'm saying until we get to the place to where we can get the place to where we are so sanctified that we're willing to totally lay our lives on the altar so others can have what they want at our expense, there must be some way we can learn to do things like this in order to obey the command of God. Now listen to me. The same Bible that says, thou shalt not steal, says in honor, preferring one another. And the same God that says, thou shalt not kill, says in honor, preferring one another. Now tonight, I'm not going to tell you the how you can get to the place through Christian growth to where you're willing to crucify yourself totally and want others to have what you want and you don't want to have it. I'm going to tell you a way tonight that you can prefer one another and still get what you want. Hey, did you hear that? You can still get, try to get it. If you're not excited, act excited. Say amen. Say glory to God. Say hallelujah. All right. Say, oh my soul or something, but all right, here we go. Now, here is a step-by-step progression where you can obey God's command in honor, preferring one another, and you can do it and still be selfish. That's what I'm saying, and still be selfish. All right, number one, listen carefully. Number one, we are by nature selfish. Look, Price, you're a good man, but you want what you want. And when Mrs. Price wants what she wants, you want what you want. She tells me that you'll fight for what you want. And you'll kill for what you want. And we all know how women are. But I'm saying that everybody in this room tonight, by nature, is selfish. We want what we want. Part number two. Then, this is so important. Then let's use our selfishness to become unselfish. Are you with me? Let's use our selfishness to become unselfish. That means until we can become totally and purely unselfish. We have, since we are by nature selfish, we have to use our selfishness as a launching pad to unselfishness. Number three, we must learn then to want to enjoy unselfishness more than we enjoy selfishness. Let me illustrate. I was a paratrooper. Look at me now. Look out this window and listen. Listen. If you're not listening, act like you're listening. Get that teenage look off your face, kids. And I'm saying that I was a paratrooper. I was training to be a paratrooper. Now, folks, I'm like you. I like good, sweet things. I like chocolate sundaes. I like banana splits with whipped cream on top. I like to have one scoop of vanilla, one scoop of strawberry, one scoop of chocolate, and a little dash of whipped cream on the top of each one of those dips. Then I like to put some pecans, cut up pecans on top of those. Then a cherry on top of each little dab of whipped cream there. I love it. Did you know all the time I was trained to be a paratrooper, I did not eat a banana split? You say, Brother Hiles, didn't you want to eat a banana split? Of course I wanted to eat a banana split. Well, then why didn't you eat the banana split? Dr. Billings used to say that, I preached a sermon one time. I said, Joe Lewis used to say, I want to be champion, and the chocolate cake said, eat me. And Joe Lewis said, I can't eat your chocolate cake. I want to be a champion. And the chocolate cake said, eat me, Joe, eat me, Joe. Joe said, no, I want to be champion. I want to be champion. I want to be champion. Dr. Billings said, chocolate cake came up to him too. Said, eat me, Dr. Billings. And Dr. Billings said, I will. I want to be champion chocolate cake eater. And when I was training to be a paratrooper, I wanted something else more than I wanted a banana split. You sometimes say? Now, that does not mean I did not want a banana split. I was using selfishness to keep me from doing what I should not have done. I found something that I wanted more than I wanted a banana split. Now tonight I can't think of anything that I want more than I want a banana split. And I'll guarantee you after this service, there's going to be a rush to banana split places, I'll guarantee you. But now wait a minute. I don't eat many sweets anymore because I want to stay cute like I am now. But if I were to go into sin and eat an awful lot, I love brownies, fudge kind of brownies, kind of got chocolate icing. Yeah, the big words always throw me. Icing on the top and little pecans there on top of the icing. And now they came to me and said, "Why don't you eat me?" And I said, "I can't eat you." "Don't you want to eat me?" I said, "Sure, I want to eat you." "Well, why don't you eat me?" "Because I want to be a paratrooper more than I want to eat you. I want those wings on my chest. I want that insignia on my shoulder. I want those boots on my feet. I want to be a pair. I want that parachute on my cap. I want to walk down the streets of Dallas, Texas, and let Beverly Slaughter see me. A paratrooper." Man, was I ever sharp. I weighed 141 pounds, exactly what I weigh now. But I wanted her to see me in my paratroop outfit more than I wanted chocolate cake. Now, I'd prefer the chocolate cake. I don't care how I look for it.
But I wanted those wings. Now see, here's what you got to do. If you get the place to where you're going to prefer other people, then you've got to find something that you like better than you like getting your way. Let's take you guys, you basketball players, you athletes. The coach said, you guys have got to leave off sweets now during basketball season. And you know that's the truth. You got to leave off your cake and your pie. And you mothers of these athletes, they've driven you kooky. Well, they drove you kooky when they were juniors and primaries, but kookier. And why? Because these guys like ice cream. They like cookies. They like candy. They like cake. But they found something they want more than they want the cake. They want to make the basketball team. And they are, so you got two desires here. One desire is the cake, and the other desire is to make the basketball team. Now, in this matter of being unselfish, listen to me now. You're going to be best to appeal to your selfishness. You've got to find something. Now, I'm talking about why you're getting perfect. Now, when you get perfect, you'll want to just lay yourself down and say, run all over me and have your way, and I don't want anything. I'll go to a monastery and be a monk, and I don't want it. But you're not there yet. You still got your appetites, and most of us are not going to just say, I want it, but I'm willing to sacrifice my whole life and crucify myself so you can have it. I'm sorry, but most of you junior high girls are not going to do that to your brothers. And most of you women not going to do that to your wives. Of course, we men are willing to do that. But most of you not going to do it. Now, until you do it, you got to figure out some way. Listen, you got to figure out some way to be selfish and let others have their way. All right? Let me make a first point number one was, we are by nature selfish. Say that out loud, would you please? We are by what? Nature selfish. Say it. We are by nature selfish. Say it again. We are by nature selfish. Number two, then let's use our selfishness to become unselfish. I'll say it again. Then let's use our selfishness to become unselfish. Say it. Then let's use our to become unselfish. Say it again. Then let's use our selfishness to become unselfish. Then I won't ask you to say this, so we must learn to want to enjoy unselfishness more than selfishness. Number four, so then we can become unselfish by being selfish. See, if you can find something that you would rather have than your way. If you can find something you'd rather have, then you get the curlers. If you'd find something you'd rather have, then you're getting the hot water. If you can find something, mine. And by the way, this is for children too. This book is not written for people 13, just 13 and over. And this book is written for this boy here, and this girl here, and this boy here, and this girl here, and this boy here. And children are supposed to be unselfish too. Do you hear what I said? Children are supposed to be unselfish too. If you're a child of God, this book was written for you. And teenagers are supposed to be unselfish just like adults are. Well, you know how children will be. Christian children are supposed to, in honor, preferring one another. Well, you know how brothers and sisters are. Christian brothers and sisters are supposed to, in honor, prefer one another. Well, you know how boys are. Christian boys are supposed, if they're saved, are supposed to, in honor, preferring one another. Well, you know how tough it is to be married, and you know how hard marriage is. Christian husbands and Christian wives are supposed to, in honor, prefer one another. And that's what's wrong with your family. That's what's wrong with your marriage. You want your way. You want your way. Here's what they say. She's not giving me what I need. Why don't you shut your backslidden mouth up? Or he's not giving me what I need. Or I'm not getting what I need. Or she's not meeting my needs. Or he's not meeting my needs. My Bible says, in honor, preferring one another. What it says? Preferring one another. Who has a right to say, that's not as important as thou shalt not kill? Tell me what command of God is more important than the others. The Bible commands me and commands you in honor, preferring one another. I was sitting in a restaurant, Howard Johnson's restaurant,
Southern California. I picked up a newspaper and I read in the newspaper that an Assembly of God preacher, that's what it said in the paper, has started a church for homosexuals in Southern California. The National Executive Secretary of the Assembly of God denomination wrote me. I'm sorry, he didn't write me. His attorney wrote me. Because that that sermon had been taken and printed where I said an Assembly of God preacher had started a church for homosexuals in Southern California. I got a letter from the National Office of the Assembly of God. Their attorney wrote me and threatened to sue me if I didn't retract the statement I made. I picked up the phone and called Dr. Zimmerman, who was at that time the head of the Assembly of God organization. And I said, Doc, you won't have to sue me. Tell me what you want. All I have is a house. If you want my house, tell me. I'll deed it to you tomorrow. What you going to do to a guy like that? I said, you go to court, it's going to cost you a lot of money. I'll give you the house free if that's what you want. He said, Brother Hodge, you're crazy. No, in honor, preferring one another. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm saying that we can become selfish by being selfish. If, number five, you then can enjoy another having it more than you can enjoy having it. Now, listen carefully. You can be selfish and let the other guy have it. Are you listening to me? If you can learn to enjoy not having it more than having it. Okay. When you basketball players. By the way, you guys that are here visiting with us, we're keeping you up to 3 o'clock in the morning. And we have chocolate cake in the fellowship hall. And you're going to eat it before you get out of here. A lot of it. I got ice cream, banana splits, and a lot of stuff like that. You're going to eat it before you get out of here. Our boy's going to go home and go to bed. But now, wait a minute. Here's a basketball player. And the coach has given him rules. He can't eat any chocolate cake. And here's one piece of chocolate cake. And he's sitting at the table. Right over here is another guy. And here's a basketball player. And the other guy says, I want the cake. And the basketball player says, I want the cake too. But I'd rather, as something else, I want more than I want that cake. I want to make the basketball team. And I want to stay in good shape. And I want to have a good season. I want that more than I want that cake. Now then, don't leave me now. Now then, he says, I'd rather you have it than me. Does that mean that he would rather that guy taste that good cake with a chocolate icing on top than his mouth to have it in his mouth? It does not mean that at all. If he weren't playing basketball, he'd fight that fella for that cake. But there's something he wants so badly, he is willing to let the other fella have the cake because he wants to make the basketball team. You see what I'm saying? Now, we've got to find something more enjoyable than having our way. So, I'll come to that in a minute. In doing that, giving is selfish. And giving in is selfish. You're not giving in because there's something you want you're not getting. You're giving in because you don't want that as much as you want something else. So giving is selfish. People oftentimes say to me, Brother Howes, you're the most unselfish man I know. And the truth is, I'm not. The truth is, I have found the happiest way to use money. And I shouldn't say this because everybody at my door after the service is over. But I'm backslidden right now. But the honest, simple truth is, you want to help me get right with God, huh? You'd have to get right first. But the honest, simple truth is, there are people who absolutely enjoy giving more than receiving. Now, if I enjoy giving more than receiving, then when I give, I'm being selfish. Is that right? Anybody home? All right. Then if I don't enjoy giving and give anyway, I'm being unselfish. Is that right? But if I do enjoy giving more than receiving, then giving is not unselfish. It's selfish because I'm getting for myself what I enjoy the most with that money. That means, listen to this statement. Your desire for their desires is greater than your desire for your desires. Let me give you the seven statements together. Listen carefully. We are by nature selfish. Then let's use our selfishness to become
unselfish. 3, we must learn to want to enjoy unselfishness more than selfishness. 4, we can become the unselfish by being selfish. 5, you can enjoy another having it more than you can enjoy your having it. 6, so most giving and giving in is selfish. 7, your desire for their desires is greater than your desire for your desire. Now, mothers, you know what I'm talking about. Listen, if you had a piece of chocolate cake, give me a mother here, Miss Hartman. Yeah, I'm sorry to wake you up. If you had a piece of chocolate cake, just one piece, and that daughter of yours wanted it, and you wanted it, now, honest, simple truth is, you'd rather her have it than you, right? Don't lie to me like that. Now, the truth is, the honest truth is, you would enjoy watching her eat it more than you would enjoy the taste of that chocolate cake, right? Then is it unselfish to let her have it? No, you're choosing what gives you the most enjoyment. Hey, this is good if you're listening. I'm telling you how you can get backslider and still be unselfish. So now, we've got to figure some way, something that we enjoy more than having our way. All right? Hear this. 1, the enjoyment of conquering. The enjoyment of conquering. Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Verse number 32. Proverbs 16:32. When you find it, I want us to read it out loud together. Ready? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Read that last phrase again. Ready? And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Say it again. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Now listen carefully. Listen to me. If you can get to the place to where when you conquer yourself, that tastes better than the chocolate cake. And you say, I have conquered myself. Listen carefully. A year and a half ago, I weighed 252 pounds. All muscle. 252 pounds. Keith McKinney called me son. But now, wait a minute. You don't recall that? You see, with white hair like that, your memory is one of the first things that goes. But wait a minute. I decided I was going to lose some weight. This morning, I weighed 192 or 3 or 4. Or 5. But I lost over 60 pounds. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. I got to the place to where when I could look at the mirror at night, I could say, I'm proud of you. And do you know being proud of... Now, you say, well, Brother House, pride is wrong. I'm trying to tell you how to be unselfish and still be crooked. I know who I'm talking to. I absolutely got more thrill and more fun out of getting on that scale the next morning and seeing a pound or two gone. And I weigh every morning. Like Brother Young, he said he's on a diet. He said he even weighs before he showers. He don't want any water sticking on him when he weighs. But he has more dirt than he does water. And so, anyway, but now wait a minute. I got to where I had more fun stepping on that scale in the morning than I had eating candy and sweets. I mean that. She said, well, that's mighty unselfish. No, I wasn't unselfish. I was selfish. I had found something I enjoyed more than I enjoyed sweets. I enjoyed conquering. All right, now follow me carefully. Now, you and I, we're going to fight.
and I'm going to win. You know why, don't you? Yeah, try it. Okay. I'm going to win. Okay. Now then, you go over there and train, and I'll go over here and train. Okay, ready? Okay. We come to the fight. Now, I haven't, in all these 6 weeks of training, I haven't eaten one banana split. I haven't had one chocolate shake. Haven't had one brownie. Had two, but not one. I haven't had one brownie. I haven't had one bag of Fritos or potato chips. He said, well, how did you want any? Sure I want. But you know what I want more? I want to conquer him. If I can see him flat on his back, that'll taste better to me than all the potato chips and Fritos in the world. So, we come here, and we start fighting. And then I hit him with a left hook like that, and down he goes. See that? Folks, I had rather see that than to own Fannie Mae Candy Company. See what I'm saying? Now, wait a minute. I am two people. I am the old nature and the new nature. Now we're going to let you represent the old nature of me. Now I come and I'm fighting my old nature. And I hit my old nature and my old nature goes down also. Slowly it goes down. Now then, I have done more than conquer him. I have conquered me. Now, if conquering can be more palatable to you than having your way, you know what I'm saying? That means when you give in, you've conquered yourself. Now, it can be, and by the way, you say, I don't believe that. That's because you never tried it. Try it, honey. I'm not talking to you. Try it, ma'am. Try it. Instead of saying, he's not meeting my needs, try giving in. You'd be amazed how good you'd feel. Try it, Oswald. Wake up. Hey, wake up. You gone to sleep on me. Boy, I crucified self, didn't I? Thank you. Now, look, listen, folks. In honor, preferring one another. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, that's a carnal way to look at it. The Bible says prefer one another. It doesn't say how to do it. It says prefer one another. And until you get to the place where you're sanctified, you do all the things. Everything you do it for the glory of God. You're willing to suffer. I know I want it. There's nothing else I want, but I won't take it because I'm such a good Christian. You're not there yet. I am, but you're not. And I'm not either. And none of us will totally be there until we awake in His likeness. Now, until we do that, we're still commanded in honor, preferring one another. So if I act on my own selfish impulses, I have got to use my selfishness to help me to obey God's command to prefer other people. Which means I've got to use my selfishness, or I've got to find something that I want more than I want what you want. And if I can want to conquer, if I can want to conquer, then I will have selfishly. So, it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, I'm in charge. I'm in charge of myself. It's a wonderful thing. Now, if you can get there, then you can say, self, you let him have it. He wants it too. You let him have it. He gets the joy of the chocolate cake, and you get the joy of conquering yourself. And I've tasted both. And I'll take the cake. Number two. What else can I learn to enjoy more than getting my way? Number one, the joy of conquering. Number two, you got to make your goal being able to have it more than not having it.
Let me see what I mean. If you can get the place to where you are, you win, so you can get it for yourself. If getting it is all you want, then give it back. Okay, here's a guy fishing. He's fishing. He feels a tug. He begins to pull it up. Hey, look at it. Isn't that something? But here's what they do. I've never understood that. Russell Anderson asked me to go to Canada with him, 1,000 miles into Canada, 20 stupid hours of driving to fish for a week. And I said, Brother Anderson, he said, you can catch them, just pull them one at a time, big long ones. What do they have up there? What? Northern pike. Why, he said, this long. I said, man, if you catch them that fast, I said, how do you get them back home? He said, you can't bring but six. You think I'm going to go 1,000 miles into Canada and spend 6 days to bring home six fish? I can buy a dozen down at the fish market. Well, what is the fun? The fun is you don't want that fish. You want to conquer that fish. Now, if you can get the place to where when you get what you want, and that's what you want, then you give it to somebody. Illustration. You've heard me tell about years ago, I had an old red Plymouth car. It was old. I used to drive it to the airport. You didn't drive it, you rode it. And I'd go to the airport. One day I was going to the airport, and I was over here around Cicero on the bypass, toll road. I looked down and saw the pavement through the floor. And I said, my soul, that's right down there. I can reach down there and touch that concrete. I began to pray for a new car. I asked God to give me a new car. Within a matter of a few days, I got a long-distance call from another state. It wasn't Texas either. It wasn't anybody I had known before. The guy said, Dr. Hiles? I said, yes. He said, I'm your friend. You don't know me, but I'm your friend. He said, I run a car agency, Oldsmobile. He said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me to tell you to come and pick out any Oldsmobile you want, and I'll give it to you. Huh? I've been pulling it in. And then I found out the joy was being able to have it and not to have it. So I threw it back in. And I kept driving the old Plymouth. I'm an idiot. Folks, that's the problem with you where you work. That's why you don't get along with your boss. That's why you don't get along with your employees. That's why you don't get along with your fellow workers. That's your problem at school. That's the problem you teenagers at Hammond Baptist High School don't get along with each other. I want my way. I want my way. Me, mine, we, us, our, ours. I want my way. But there is a way to where you can become stronger so that there's something that you want more than you want what they want. One thing is if you can want to conquer yourself. Other thing is, if you can just want to get it more than to have it. And number three, the goal of strength. The goal of strength. Illustration. When I eat out, I pay the bill. Right? You ever eaten out with me? Have you ever paid the bill? Have you ever asked to pay the bill? Have you eaten out with me? Have you ever paid the bill? Have you ever asked to pay the bill? You want me to be happy? Have you ever eaten out with me? Have you ever paid the bill? Have you ever asked to pay the bill? Have you ever eaten out with me? Have you ever paid the bill? Have you ever asked to pay the bill? Have you ever eaten out with me? Have you ever paid the bill? Have you ever asked to pay the bill? Have you ever eaten out with me? Have you paid the bill? Have you ever asked to pay the bill?
Have you ever eaten? I'm sorry. Now, you know why they don't ask to pay the bill? They know I am going to pay the bill. You know why? I don't know. I'll tell you exactly why. Because I want the assurance of paying the bill. I want the strength of providing for those I love. And I wouldn't enjoy the meal. Ms. Howells' father was that way. I mean, he just wouldn't eat if he couldn't pay the bill. That's why he and I never ate together. But he was that way. Why? He was the old school. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. Whoever's in charge, he pays the bill. And I want to tell you something. I, as a man, would rather have that feeling than to have the money in my pocket and let you pay the bill. Now listen to me. The age of manhood's about gone. Just about gone. And that's one reason why your wife doesn't feel secure. And that's one reason why your children don't feel secure. And that's one reason why some churches don't feel secure. Because the age of real manhood is about gone. These ERA husses and NOW husses, they will sell popsicles in hell before I'll have a woman on my pastoral staff. You say, what if the government says you got to? The government says it, and I will rot in jail before I'll do it. You know why? Because I'm a man. I'm a man. I told you this story. Called the police department. Thought somebody's breaking in. Ms. Howells is gone. I'm scared when she's gone. I called the police. Here came, light on flashing. Came up, rang the doorbell. I went to the door. There she stood. A police woman. She said, what is the trouble? I said, never mind. I didn't tell her this, but I'd rather be robbed than have her keep me from it. I mean that. But I got to have a woman protecting me, son. I don't want to be protected. He said, you're a male chauvinist pig. No, I'm not. I'm a male chauvinist hog. And a real sow loves it. I'm simply saying there are some things better than chocolate cake. Banana cake. There are some things that are more palatable than getting what you want. In order for you to obey Romans 12:10, in honor preferring one another, you are going to have to admit the fact that you're selfish. And you're going to have to use your selfishness and build on your selfishness in order to prefer one another. So you're going to have to find out something that you'd rather have than have what you're competing for. And when that something becomes more palatable to you than your way, and by giving in to another, there's something you get by doing that. And I want to say this too. Giving in when you don't, listen carefully to this. Giving in when you don't have to give in is masculine. If you're so puny you have to give in, that's weakness. If you don't have to give in but choose to give in, that's strength. When you say to your wife, and you know, if you want your way, you can get your way. You say to your wife what you think is best on this matter. That is stronger than you saying, we'll do what I said. Restraint is the most powerful force known to mankind. Try to stop Niagara Falls. When you do, I'll make you Mr. America. So, Christian growth is not deprivation in a monastery. Christian growth is not saying, I want it more than anything in the world, I'll deprive myself of it, though I want it. Christian growth is when you get the place to where you want it, but you have character enough to develop a desire for something greater. And that something greater tastes better than having your way. Then you have learned to be selfish, as it were, and still obey the command in honor, preferring one another. Shall we stand?